Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hebrews, the 8th chapter. How many want to be healthy and strong and live long and bring healing to others? Successfully be able to bring healing to others. Well, then we're going to have to study. We're going to have to study on the subject of healing and become a group of people that are absolutely, totally convinced concerning the will of God concerning healing. Totally, absolutely convinced, because as we go through this life, the Bible calls it the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, death has cast its shadow all around us, and sickness and disease is a form of death. So at various times in our life, we're going to be tempted to fear death. We're going to be tempted to be sick. We're going to be tempted to receive a disease, or if not us, somebody else we know and care about. And so that's why it's really good to build up our spiritual immune system and not just our physical immune system, you know, by eating right. Well, if you have a lot of antioxidants, you got to put a lot of antioxidants in your body, and you've got to eat this, and you got to do this, and you got to do all these things, and make sure you exercise and keep your immune system strong. Well, I'm all for it. Keep your immune system strong physically, but more than that, make sure your spiritual immune system, which is your faith, make sure that's strong. Make sure that's strong. And if you got strong faith, it'll work like antibodies work in the natural. Antibodies are something that's in our bodies that attacks sickness and viruses and germs and goes after it and tries to annihilate it so that it can't continue in your body. Well, that's exactly what faith will do. Faith will take care of the problem first spiritually, and then also it'll carry over into the natural and change things in the physical as well. Faith will just attack. Faith will quench every fiery disease of the devil. Faith will quench every fiery symptom of the devil. Hallelujah. It'll just attack it. So just as we go through this, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as we're hearing the word of God on healing, our faith is growing strong, and any kind of sickness tries to get in there and tries to mess with us, our faith will just rise up and slap it. Just slap it and then kick it. And let's just attack it until it's running out of the house. Running out of your body, screaming, help! There's crazy faith in here. We need some crazy faith in the house. The devil's crazy. He's out of his mind. We might as well be out of ours. Hallelujah. I think we should be a little bit more crazy. Going off the rail in our crazy train. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to go back. Well, first let's look at this scripture here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. What's he talking about? Well, he's comparing the Old Testament or the Old Covenant with the New Testament, the New Covenant. And he says that the New Covenant is a better covenant. If you haven't underlined that in your Bible, you might think about doing that. Better covenant. Talking about the New Covenant. Better covenant, which was established on better promises. So what we have today through Jesus under the new covenant is a better covenant than those under the old covenant, those that we read about in the Old Testament. And so if those in the Old Testament received healing and walked in divine health, how much more, if we have a better covenant, should you and I be walking in divine health and experience divine healing under the new? Right? How much more? If what we have is better, then we have what they had and more. That would be better. If we have less than what they have, then what we have is not better. Right? How many people know a $10 bill is better than a $5 bill? Why? Because it has the five in it. The 10 has five in it and more. You don't have something better if somebody's taking something away from you. So as we look here under the Old Covenant, look in the Old Testament, we're going to see God as a healer. We're going to see people receive healing. And so that tells us right there, it is for us today. So let's go to Genesis chapter 20. And this is the first recorded healing in the Bible that I found. Over here in Genesis chapter 20. And we're going to look tonight at the healing of Abimelech. Chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of his wife, "She is my sister." And Amalek, king of Gerar, sent and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now notice this. God comes and says, "Indeed, you are a dead man." How would you like a prophecy like that from the Lord? Amen. You wouldn't want to go to a prophecy conference and get a word like that, would you? But this is the Lord, and he said, "Behold, you are a dead man." Now, when we look at this at face value, someone might come to the conclusion that God is threatening Amalek, even cursing the man. God's pointing at him and threatening him and saying, "You are a dead man. I'm going to take you out back and we're going to finish you off here real soon." A lot of times that's how folks will read that. They'll look at that. But we know from the New Testament, God doesn't threaten people. God is not a killer. He's not in the killing and stealing business and destroying business. We know from the New Testament that God, he's a healer. And he seeks to bring us life. He's not looking to destroy our lives. He's looking to redeem our lives from destruction. What God is simply doing here is he is stating Amalek's condition. He's stating the condition that he is already in and warning him before the problem that he already has manifests, saying, "You're a dead man." How many people remember when God spoke to Abraham, he said, "Behold, I have made you a father of many nations." And that was before he even had a child, right? And yet God says, "I have made you a father of many nations." In other words, this was something that was already as good as done in the spirit. Well, from where Amalek was spiritually, it was already as good as done. He was a dead man. He was as good as dead. He was a marked man, marked for death, marked for destruction. So God wasn't threatening him. God was just simply stating his condition to warn him before this death manifested in his life. Spiritual conditions or conditions, many conditions that we experience in the natural start in the spirit. Good and bad. We know sickness and disease. Who's the source of that? The devil. The devil is the source of sickness and disease. What about healing and health and life? Who's the source of that? God is. And both God and the devil are in the spirit. So blessings come forth from the spirit, and curses that people experience in the natural, they have their origin in the spirit. And so this man was in a bad place spiritually. He was in a bad place spiritually, and where he was spiritually would eventually manifest in the physical if he didn't make some changes in his life. And so God, in his mercy and love, was warning this man. How many people know if God wanted to kill somebody, he'd just kill him? He doesn't have to get anybody's permission. Right? He didn't have to come to Amalek and threaten him and kind of position himself to kill Amalek if God wanted to kill him. He'd just go, boom. He'd just kill him. So the very fact that God's having this conversation with this man about his situation should tell us, God is looking to do something good here. God is looking to rescue this man. God's not looking to kill him because he doesn't have to look to do it. He just does it, right? But that's not what he does. So he doesn't do that. God's looking to redeem. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's a redeemer. He's warning him so that Amalek can make changes in his life and live. Now let's go to verse 4. But Amalek had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. So here God was holding him back. Now we don't know all the details involved in this. We don't know how long Amalek had had Sarah in his harem, had brought her in. And because he was the king of Gerar, and he probably had several wives. And so when he saw her, he took her. But Abraham and Sarah had agreed upon beforehand that she was to say that Abraham is her brother, not her husband. So the man did not know this was another man's wife that he had. And so what he was doing was wrong, but he didn't know it. And so therefore, God showed him some extra mercy, visited him in a dream, tells him about it. And I love this. He rises up and he begins to contend with God about this. He begins to plead his case to God. You and I are told in the scriptures to come and state our case to God, to come to him that we may be justified. Hold your place in Genesis. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. God is a real person. And he's someone we can talk to. He's someone that we can come and tell, say, Lord, your word says this. And this is what's happened over here, which is the complete opposite of what your word says. And God will have a conversation with us. God is not so high and mighty that he will not come down and discuss with us our situation. and help us to see what we need to see and bring more light on the situation? Isn't that an awesome thing about God? That we can converse with him. We can have a conversation with him. We can contend with him. Notice this here in Isaiah 41, verse 21. It says, present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. So God is actually inviting us and telling us, come. You don't like what's going on in your life? Come. Talk to me about it. Now, talking to him means you are coming to him to have a conversation. You're just not throwing words out there, complaining. Not really expecting any kind of real answer, just whining and complaining about God. No, he's saying, come, let's talk about it. Let's contend. Present your case. Like an attorney would come and present his case for someone. Come, present your case. Tell me about your situation. And that's exactly what Amalek was doing. He was presenting his case to God. And God was listening to his case. God was listening to his strong reasons. Notice Isaiah chapter 43. 43 verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Now, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. That you may be acquitted, or that you may be proven right. That you may be proven innocent. That you may be set free. Come, present your case. Plead your case. Put me in remembrance. What does he mean by that? What does he mean when God says, put me in remembrance? Well, just like an attorney in a courtroom, you know, he would state conditions in the law that say, now we have, you know, rights and privileges here. And he would state those rights and privileges. How people know you and I have the Word of God, which is God's Word, which is what God has spoken to us. We need to come to him and put him in remembrance of the things that he has promised us. Remember, we have better promises under the new covenant. We have better promises than they had under the old. And we can come to him and we can say, now, Lord, you said, and based on what you said, I have these rights. I have these privileges. I have the right to be prosperous. I have the right to be healthy. The devil has no right to touch me. He has no right to bring curses into my life. He has no right to curse my household. Because you said right here in your word, I'm putting you in remembrance. You said right here, it is written, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so we're putting God in remembrance, and by doing that, we're releasing our faith in his word. Take your case to God. Present it to him. Put him in remembrance of what he said. And how many people know God will justify you? He will come and he will perform his word on your behalf. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Devil ain't got nothing on me. I'm a righteous man. I'm set apart for God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We need to know that. We need to be strong in that so that we can stand up, declare that, present our case with utmost confidence, knowing what kind of God God is, that he will acquit us. He will justify us. Every time he'll do it. If he did it for a man under the old covenant, how much more will he do it for you and I? How much more will he step in and set you free from the accusations of the devil? Amalek, that's what he's doing. He doesn't even have scripture. But just knowing that he was a man of integrity, just knowing that his heart was right and he desired to be pleasing to God, just knowing that he had a case before God. And so he presents that case, and God says to him, I withheld you from sinning against me. I saw your integrity. I know you didn't mean to do this intentionally, and so therefore I held you back. I wonder how many things God has held us back from in life. I've held you back from sinning against me. Happy, but no, if God wasn't holding us back, folks would be sinning a whole lot more than they ever have before. Thank God he's protecting us. He's the one that keeps us out of trouble. He's holding us back from doing the wrong thing. We wouldn't even be here tonight unless the Father had drawn us. And the more we walk in integrity, the more we exercise godly character, the more our hearts will be able to respond to God, hear from God, be led by God. I believe God's not even saying here, well, because of your integrity, you know, I was a little nicer to you. I believe because of your integrity, God is saying, because of your integrity, I was able to hold you back from sinning against me. If you didn't have integrity, I wouldn't have been able to hold you back from sinning. But your integrity gave me something to hook onto and pull you back. Your godly character gave me something to get a hold of to be able to arrest your attention, to bring this to your attention, that you're going the wrong way. See, so it's important to exercise godly character, walk in integrity, which is what? Which is watching how you behave when nobody else seems to be watching. Just knowing God is watching. We're not looking to just be religious men pleasers. We're looking to please God. Not just one another. We're not just looking to look good to one another. Look like a righteous person to one another. And not be right in God's sight. Not be behaving right in his sight, right? That would be hypocrisy. And there's a whole lot of that in the world. But we want to be pleasing to him. We want to be right in his sight. We want our hearts to be in the right place. Well, the more we exercise godly character, the more God will be able to arrest our attention and keep us out of trouble. And that's exactly what he wants to do. Come on. If he got this man's attention, who's not even born again, not even filled with the Spirit, doesn't even have the scriptures like you and I have under the new covenant, if God was able to arrest this man's attention, to show him that you're going the wrong direction, you're headed towards destruction, how much more can God preserve you and I? How much more can God arrest our attention? And so we need to have confidence that if I'm going the wrong direction in life, I have confidence God is so good, he's so merciful, he will arrest my attention and he will get me in the right place. He'll get me going in the right direction. And man, I'll tell you, to be able to go through life knowing that it all doesn't rest on you. God's going to keep me from sinning. God's going to keep me from missing it. God's going to keep me from going the wrong way, going down the path of destruction. If I keep his word in my heart, if I keep myself living pure in his sight, if I will continue to judge myself, I will not be judged. God will keep me from the destroyer. Aren't you glad? Yes. Hallelujah. And when symptoms come, we can rise up and say, no, 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 no. No, no, something tries to threaten our lives. No, 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 no. I'm right in the sight of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and I'm living for righteousness. A lot of times folks miss that over in 1 Peter 2:24. They say half of the verse. They say, by whose stripes you were healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. Well, what does the whole verse say? Well, the whole verse says, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. by whose stripes you were healed. I'm living for righteousness. How about you? Now, you might have messed up. You might have fallen. But you didn't accept that from yourself. You repent, don't you? You miss it, you repent. Why? Because you're living for righteousness. You're living for it. I mean, that's what we're going. That's why we're here tonight, man. We're living for right. We want to understand and walk in more righteous, the righteousness of God that He has made us. We're living for that. We're living for that. So, see, we could stand up tall and say, no. I'm living for righteousness. I'm walking in the integrity of my heart. I'm doing what I know to do. So, therefore, by His stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And also, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And, doesn't stop there. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you confess the wrongs that you know to be wrong, He'll forgive you for that and cleanse you from the stuff you might be doing wrong that you don't even know you're doing wrong. Just like Amalek. If you'll take care of what you know and confess that, get that right with God, then the things you're ignorant of, He'll make sure you're cleansed of that also. He'll make sure that you're delivered from that also. And that's exactly what we see here with Amalek, don't we? Hallelujah. I'm walking in integrity, Mount. Well, I know. That's why I'm talking to you. That's why we're able to have this conversation right now. It's your integrity that has enabled us to have this conversation right now. And because you've been making right the things that you know are wrong in your life, I'm now taking care of the things you didn't even know you were doing wrong. I'm taking care of those things too. I'm getting those things right in your life too. I'm straightening those things out for you too. And it all started with this vision. It's all starting with this revelation that God has brought to this man. This is the old covenant. This is an Old Testament example. And look at how God's moving. Look at how God's looking to redeem. Look how God's wanting to heal. How much more now for you and I under the new, bearing the name of Jesus, having been made children of God. Hallelujah. Verse 7, Genesis 20. Now therefore, God speaks some more instruction here. He's given him some revelation. He's shown him some things. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you shall live. You know, that was the desired end from the beginning with God. For this man to live. For this man to live. You know, God desires us to have long life. Psalm 91, Old Testament scripture. He said, with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who? The one that sets his affection on the Lord and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, with long life I'll satisfy him. Hallelujah. And show him my salvation. Salvation, what's that? Deliverance from every evil thing. Deliverance from every... Now, he wouldn't have to promise you deliverance from every evil thing if you could live a life where you'd never be confronted with evil things. Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we're going to be confronted with evil. Death is going to try to confront us. It has, and it will in the future. But be of good cheer. Jesus whipped death and has promised us that he will deliver us out of it all. Every time. Glory to God. With long life, he will satisfy us and show us his deliverance from every evil thing. Do you believe that? That's his intentions from the very beginning. Now, I want to make something clear also. That not every affliction, not every sickness, disease, every confrontation with death is the result of a person's spiritual condition. In other words, it's not necessarily because they are living wrong or doing something wrong, and that's why they're being confronted with evil. Like I just said, we are going to be confronted with evil just because we're here in this world. Until Jesus returns and death is thrown in the lake of fire, we will be confronted with it in all its different forms. We will experience tribulation in this life. And it's important to understand that, because there's still, in a lot of Christians, the mentality that if somebody is suffering, if somebody is afflicted, if somebody is experiencing the symptoms of a curse in their life, it must be because they've done something wrong. They're missing it somewhere. There has to be a cause for this curse coming. Because the Bible says a curse causeless will not come. So they must have done something to cause the curse. There are always causes for a curse. One of those causes might be because simply you're in the world and there's a devil seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. There's the devil causing it. The devil's coming with temptations. How many people know you don't have to be living an unrighteous life to be tempted to sin? Was Jesus tempted? He was tempted at all points and yet without sin. Jesus did not sin and thus bring temptation upon himself. Well, it's the same thing with symptoms. They're just temptations to fear. They're just temptations to give in to fear, to give in and be sick. That's what symptoms are. They're just temptations. And they're here because we're in the world. So it doesn't always come because of something a person has done wrong. It could just be because we're living in a wrong world. The world is wrong. The world is not right with God. The world is under a curse. Got it? So we need to know that. So we don't look at somebody and go, I wonder what they did or what's going on in their life that this happened to them. I mean, I'm telling you, there was a man of God that I knew. He was a man of God. I mean, flowed in the spirit, beautiful man of God. Had a nice megachurch, church was thriving, growing, and he died. And there was another minister that I was talking with, and it came up about his passing, this other minister. And this minister said to me, he said, I always thought he was a man of God. But I guess I might have been wrong. Because the man died, she must have been wrong that he was a man of God. That's not good theology right there. Who said he did anything wrong? The only thing wrong he may have done was just allowed himself to be overcome with fear. His faith just might have been too weak to be able to stand up against that attack. That might be the only thing. Doesn't necessarily mean there's sin in his life. So we got to watch about judging people and assuming things and just immediately thinking, what happened here? Well, you know, he did kind of treat me wrong one time when I was at the church. And of course, if anybody treats me wrong, they're under the judgment of God for sure. People got some wild ideas about the judgment of God. Are you hearing me? Have you ever had a cold? You had a hard time shaking it off? Huh? Couldn't get rid of the sniffles? Couldn't get rid of the stomach bug as fast as you wanted to? Ended up going the whole distance with it? Huh? Let it run its course till finally Tylenol came running to the house and rescued you? Well, that's not God's best, is it? No, the best is to be able to quench it by faith. Hallelujah, as quick as possible. But sometimes that just doesn't happen for everybody. So, but for this man, Abimelech, he was in a bad place spiritually. Not knowing it, but he was in a bad place spiritually. And as a result of that, he was destined to die prematurely. He was on a path of destruction that had to be fixed. And so sometimes there is a going back to the root of the problem and fixing that and not just focusing on the condition in the physical. And, you know, I mean, anytime there's any kind of symptom or something like that, it's a good time to examine yourself. We should be examining ourselves all the time, anytime. Anyway, isn't that right? And I'm not talking about going on a witch hunt, trying to find out, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? My God, am I doing anything wrong? I said to the Lord one time, I said, Lord, and it wasn't because anything was going wrong in my life. I just want to be right. You know, I just want to make sure I'm doing everything right. I said, Lord, am I missing it anywhere? You know, I want to make sure I'm doing everything right, you know. I said, am I missing it anywhere? And he answered me, he said, are you? Huh? Well, so I'm asking you. He said, well, are you? You tell me. Are you doing everything you know to do? I mean, if you're missing it, you should be able to know it. Sometimes it's just a matter of stopping and examining yourself. So I just did a, wow, okay. Instead of waiting for God to tell me where I'm missing, I just did a self-examination. I thought, well, you know, that kind of bothered me. I need to, you know, spend more time in this and do a little bit more of that, you know. He said, well, then do it. Okay. And at one time, he gave me a revelation, do what you know to do. And you'll know everything you need to know when you need to know it. Do what you know to do. Sometimes you just got to examine yourself. Am I missing it somewhere? Well, I kind of feel like I should be at church. Well, I kind of feel like I should be doing this. Or, you know, well, I know I should be getting up earlier and spending more time with God. Well, do it. In other words, you can know if you're missing it. Amen. I remember when I was out in Oklahoma. And I mean, you know, just loving the Lord, walking in the integrity of my heart, serving Him. And I had decided I wasn't going to be going to the Wednesday night services at the church there, because after all, I was going to Bible school during the day. I was getting the word during the day. I was doing some Bible studying things after, some extra classes after school was even over. I mean, it was Bible, Bible, Bible. And I thought, you know, I just want to spend some of my own time in the Word of God. I'm just going to go home and get in the Word of God and just, you know, I'm just looking forward to just studying the Word for myself. And I haven't been getting much out of the Wednesday night services anyway, so it would just be more beneficial for me. So I decided I was going to do that. And after I made that decision, I had a couple people come up to me. You going to church tonight? God was sending them, trying to get my attention. I didn't know that at the time, but I found out later, you know. Are you going to church tonight? I said, no, I'm going to spend some extra time in the Word tonight, just at home, just me and the Lord, you know. And I said that about two or three people, you know, that came to me at different times, got in my path to say that. And anyway, I got home that night, and then I got ready, and back then I didn't have a computer, but I had my dictionary, and I had my concordance, and I had different couple Bibles, and I set it all out on the table. And I'm not going to sit down and do something stupid. I'm not going to church, but I'm going to get in the Word. I'm still going to do something spiritual. So I lay all these things out and everything else, and I got this, just a yucky feeling on the inside, like, something didn't feel right. And so I sat there for the moment, and I had everything ready to go, and I just stopped, and I went, Lord, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like, it seems like I'm missing it somewhere. I said, if I'm missing it somewhere, you show me, because I don't want to miss it. I said, so you show me. If something isn't right, you show me, because I want to be right. Praise God. And so I started in, you know, and had this icky feeling. And just, I don't know, just a few minutes went by and the phone rang. And I go over, I pick up the phone. I said, hello. It's quiet for a moment. I said, hello. And all of a sudden this woman's voice goes, hello. I said, hello. Now, at this point, I think, oh, somebody's got the wrong number, you know. She says, who is this? I'm thinking, you're calling me and asking who this is. I said, I figured this is the wrong number. I'll minister to the woman. I said, Steve. She said, "Do I know you?" Because I was kind of excited, Steve, you know. She said, "Do I know you?" I said, "I don't know. Who are you?" There was another big pause, and she said, "Why aren't you in church tonight?" I said, "What?" She said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, praise God. Well, the Lord just wants you to know you're supposed to be in church tonight. Bye." I said, "Wait. Wait. I said, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, do you have a church?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Do they have services on Wednesday night?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, praise God." She said, "Well, the Lord just wants you to know you're supposed to be in church tonight. Bye." I said, wait. Now, I am not at this point connecting that I said, you know, if I'm missing it somewhere, Lord, show me. This is completely separate to me. I had forgot about that. I'm like, what is this? So I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Well, I was just sitting here praying." And she said, "Suddenly I saw this phone number come up in front of me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, call this number and tell him he's supposed to be at church." Come on. Is he good? Now see, don't expect him to do that for you because you got me showing it to you. And it's the only time it ever happened. I have not received another single phone call to tell me to do anything else that the Lord wanted me to do. So you got to watch out, you know, not looking for that every time. So she said she saw this number, and the Lord spoke to her and told me, of course. She said, "So you know, Lord must have something good for your church tonight. Bye." Because that's all she knew. I said, "Oh, wait. I said, well, give me your number." I said, I'll call you when it's over and tell you what happened. She went, She said, I'll call you later. I said, okay, great. I got up. I said, "Lord, what do you have for me at church tonight?" I'm thinking, what's going to happen? I'm thinking the prophet of God's going to walk up to me and speak a word over me. Somebody's going to walk up and hand me the keys to their Corvette and say, "The Lord wants you to have this. I mean, something big's going to happen here tonight." So I get all dressed. I am like amazed. So I go to the church. I walk out. I'm like, "Okay, Lord, where do you want me to sit? Just, where do you want me to go?" You know. So I go in, I'm not getting anything, so I just found a seat, you know. I'm thinking, "Oh, I hope I'm in the right seat, Lord, you know. I hope I'm next to the right person, you know. Who's going to do this for me? What's going to happen?" And so the service goes by, you know, as it normally does on a Wednesday night, and then it was over. They dismissed, and people are leaving, and I'm standing there, and I'm waiting, and everybody's leaving, and so I'm kind of walking around, and I see the prophet of God up there. I thought, well, let me help God out here a little bit. And I walked up and kind of got between him and the door where he was going. And he walked past me and looked at me like, "Get out of my way." And I said, "Bless you." And he walked on, and nothing happened, and the lights started going out. And so anyway, I went out, and now I got mad. Now I'm offended. I got to admit to you, I got offended at God. I said, "God, what happened? I know that was you." I went out there. I got in the car. I was so offended. I said, "Nothing happened." I started driving home. I'm asking them what happened. I got quiet. And all of a sudden, it came to my remembrance. My prayer. That prayer that you prayed. Are you missing it somewhere? And I went, "Oh. You just want me in church on Wednesday night. Wow." Anyway, that woman did call me back later on. And I said, "Yeah." I told her what happened. She said, "Yeah." She said, "I prayed to the Lord after I hung up with you. I said, Lord, what is it? What do you have for him tonight?" And the Lord spoke to me. "It's not what he thinks." It's not what he's thinking. Hallelujah. Isn't God merciful? So, I don't miss Wednesday nights anymore. I believe it's that much his will. But, you know, it all started with on the inside. And if your heart's right with God and you want to be right with him and you're building up godly character and walking in integrity, you're going to have a sensitive heart. And God's going to be able to hook it and help you get on the right path. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And so In conclusion here, verse 7, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Again, God is not threatening him. He's just telling him, because of the path that you're on, if you don't get off this path, you're going to die. It's like somebody jumping out in front of a car saying, the bridge is washed out. Stop. If you keep going, you're going to die. That's what God was doing. God can see from his perspective what was going on and was able to warn this God-fearing man. But notice what God says to him first. Restore the man's wife. And many times that's what we have to do. We have to repent. We have to go back. Find out if we did miss it. Again, we're not going on a witch hunt, but we're examining ourselves. Am I missing it somewhere? Let's get those things right. Let's repent for what we recognize is not right. Then what did he say? He will forgive us. If we'll confess, he'll forgive. And remember, Jesus said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed. Healing and forgiveness come together. So we just get it right. Get it right. Sometimes you need to go first and get some things right. You need to maybe restore some things. If you've taken something from somebody that didn't belong to you, maybe you need to restore that in order to be completely free of the guilt of it. Now, we don't always have to go to people to confess our sins. But there are times if you did somebody wrong, there are times where you need to go to them and you need to make it right. And of course, we see that in James chapter 5. James 5, 15 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, this is new. This is a New Testament epistle. Call for the elders of the church. What did he say to Amalek? Call for Abraham. He's a prophet. He's an elder. You go to him. He's going to pray the prayer of faith over you. How many know Abraham knew something about faith? He's the father of our faith. See, what we're seeing under the new, it was under the old too. It's just better. Hallelujah. What we have under the new is just better. But it was there too. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So sometimes there are healings that are contingent upon going and making things right with somebody else. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to just forgive them. Maybe you did something wrong. You recognize, oh, Father, forgive me, and I repent for that. Most of the time, that's good enough, but there are some times you need to now go to them and let them know too, hey, I repent to you. I ask for your forgiveness. Bless me. Pray for me. Amen? Don't get paranoid about it and start airing your laundry to everybody. Be sensitive. Be led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes there will be a conviction to do that. And so Abraham prayed the prayer of faith, and God raised him up. God raised him up. Verse 8, so Amalek rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. Notice that he rose early in the morning. I mean, Amalek was obviously a God-fearing man. He moved immediately, diligently. First thing, he obeyed God, did what God told him to. He responded quickly to the Spirit of God. He got things right with God, and he was restored to perfect health. His relationship with Abraham was made right. Hallelujah. And if you want to read the whole thing, read it on your own. Praise God. But we covered the main parts we needed to cover here tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm going to walk in the blessing of Abraham.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.